The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM and on our for our new listeners off our new tower down in Lee, WSBR 88. And this is Friday. This is Thursday. This week has me all confused with the holiday. So this is Thursday, May 29th. I'm Brian Burkle. I'll be your host today. As always, we are live and local this morning at our WTBR studio on Federico Drive. And in studio today, we've got actually quite a bit going on here. A lot of June activities that we want to share with you. And so we have representatives from Berkshire Pride. We have Rachel Schwartz and Mackenzie Kern, who will be talking about all of the events that are coming up with a very, very event-packed June for Pride Month. And also in studio, we have Jenny Herzog, who is the producer of Hear Me, which is a really interesting film that's going to be presented in a couple of places here in Berkshire County throughout June that we're going to give her an opportunity to talk about on that. So before we get into our conversations, we always have to check in with the weather. So let's see what is in store for us.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. Highs in the upper 60s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Lows in the upper 50s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny. A chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area.
Okay, sounds like the Berkshires to me. So, so hello, everybody. And
Hi.
Glad you guys are all here today with us. We are talking with, from Berkshire Pride, we have Rachel Schwartz and Mackenzie Kern. They're both on the organizing committee, and there was a lot to organize this month, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get into that in just a moment. I also want to introduce everybody to Jenny Herzog. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. So, Jenny, you're the producer of a film called Hear Me that I'd like to have you talk about. And basically, you're an artist, right? Multi-talented artist, singer, producer, tap dancer. Mm-hmm. And you work, you use art to really address gun violence, right?
Yep.
Gun violence prevention and criminal justice reform.
Right.
So I know that this film is called Hear Me. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So Hear Me is a documentary featuring 7 young people from Berkshire County, 5 from Pittsfield, 2 from North Adams, who've been impacted by gun violence. We take a public health approach to gun violence, and so through their stories, we look at root causes in the community, health disparities, stories of impact, and a way forward. And in our film, the cast members are the experts, so there's no, professors or scientists coming in. It's all about their lived experience. And so the film also features an original music score by local artists and young people. Mm-hmm. And we're super excited because we have 3 screenings coming up in June.
And where are those screenings?
Sure. So we have one this Sunday, June 1st, 2 p.m. at the Adams Theater. It's actually going to be a free screening followed by a talk back with panelists Peter Wagner, who's the executive director of the Prison Policy Initiative, which mm-hmm. is a national think tank on criminal justice reform, but he's a local of Adams. He'll be joining us along with Professor Ben Snyder, who's a sociologist at Williams College, and Kamara Taliaferro, who is the committee chair of the Berkshire NAACP Political Action Committee. So we'll be screening the film at 2 o'clock, and it'll be followed by a discussion where we'll present public health models that have been effective at reducing shootings in other cities and how we might bring those to the Berkshires.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you mentioned the models from other cities. I believe is Baltimore one of those cities?
Right.
All right. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So some of the young people I work with, you know, call it Bodymore just because the rates of homicide were so high. And basically in the last 5 years, Baltimore has taken a different approach to how to deal with, when I say gun violence, I'm speaking specifically about community violence and homicide. So, you know, the majority of deaths by firearm are actually suicide. So mm-hmm. I'm talking specifically about homicide, which is about 40% of deaths. So Baltimore was having a real trouble with this, you know, homicide in the city. So they decided to adopt a public health approach to the problem, which meant, and I can go as deep into this as you want me to. I don't know how much time you got, but.
go ahead.
Okay, sure. So they implemented several different models that worked basically collaboratively to create a public health infrastructure in the city. So quickly, the first thing they did was a cure violence model where they basically employ older men who have been through the system, who have mm-hmm. lived experience, who can relate to young men who are kind of most likely to shoot or be shot in the city, build trust with those individuals, mediate conflicts going on, and then if and when there is a shooting, they respond immediately in order to prevent retaliations. They also work independently from law enforcement in order to gain the trust of those individuals who may be distrustful of traditional authority. Mm-hmm. So that's the cure violence interrupters. They also implemented a focused deterrence or group violence reduction strategy, which is a kind of like an intervention model where law enforcement, social services, and community members find the young people who are most likely to shoot or be shot, and they kind of stage an intervention in like a neutral setting, like a church or something like that. Mm-hmm. Basically say, you know, like, hey, we know that you guys are the ones perpetrating the violence. This is unacceptable. If you stop, we will basically give you housing, mental health, substance use, employment. Like, you'll be first in line for everything. We'll make sure you have what you need in order to go down a different path. If you don't choose that, you know, we'll hold you accountable to the fullest extent of the law. But the agency of providing that choice before the shootings take place mm-hmm. actually has huge success rates. And 75% of individuals who were given this choice did choose the first path. Mm-hmm. So that's the second thing. They also have a hospital violence intervention model. So in every hospital, there's a violence intervention advocate that if there is a victim of a shooting, they get immediately connected to this individual, and they're basically responsible for dealing with the mental and emotional trauma, you know, of a gunshot wound. So the doctor's dealing with the physical problem. This individual deals with the mental and emotional, and also kind of protects the privacy of the patient in the hospital. If law enforcement comes, you know, they make sure that the patient's rights are followed. And then when the individual goes back to the community, they follow up with them to make sure they're following up on their care. Mm-hmm. So they also might collaborate with violence interrupters. So if there was a shooting, the violence intervention advocate could work with the violence interrupter to kind of monitor the situation, make sure there's not retaliations from there. And then finally, there's a neighborhood trauma response team. So when a shooting happens, they actually respond immediately to the scene. In order to kind of deal with the trauma that just took place and connect neighbors, family members, loved ones, the victim's family, also the perpetrator and the perpetrator's family, to resources around like grief, loss, trauma, healing. They also help to organize vigils, memorials, funerals, mm-hmm. But they kind of take just more a healing approach to the trauma that the community just experienced. So all of these things working in collaboration fall under the mayor's office. It's mm-hmm. very important that the mayor is kind of leading the charge and says, you know, this is something our city is investing in. This is something we're taking seriously. Like, we want all stakeholders to buy into this model. And all of these, basically, all these different models work to create an infrastructure that has had tremendous success and has reduced shootings, you know, mm-hmm. 50 to 60% in Baltimore. And they've actually had, like, the lowest shootings they've seen in a long time. And importantly, also, they have not had more arrests. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't correlated with more police, more arrests. Mm-hmm. It's actually just been truly a public health approach.
Right. And that's really incredible. And having those violence interrupters.
Right.
From what you're describing, it's a very involved process. It's not just a one and done.
Right.
Sounds like they really become part of the lives of these younger people and walk them through, you know, not just like trying to prevent it in the first place. But they, like you said, they, when they know there's been a shooting, and unfortunately a lot of times there's going to be a retaliatory type of action, mm-hmm. they know who to go to. They can talk to the kids. They can try to deflect that and
right.
distract them to do something else, right?
Yeah.
And then there's all that follow-up when there is an act of violence to make sure that, you know, the community feels heard, these kids feel heard, and that they are, you know, maybe directed in some other safer way.
Right.
Right. Given other options.
Yeah.
That's crucial.
And I would just add that it's also important to know that in most places, if not all places, the people who are most likely to shoot or be shot actually amount to a very small amount of individuals in
right,
a very
right.
few places that you would call hot spots. So mm-hmm. The first thing that happens is you conduct a problem analysis so that everyone in the city has a common definition of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you identify who these individuals are and where these hot spots are, you then focus intervention accordingly. So that's really important because it means that resources aren't being spread out throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually being applied to the people who are highest risk. And then you'd follow a relentless outreach model. So you don't wait for those individuals to voluntarily engage because mm-hmm. most of the time, people who are at the heart of violence are very distrustful. They may be involved in criminal activity. They're not going to just walk up to you and be like, hey, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they might, but it's unlikely. So relentless outreach means you go to their house, you knock on their door, you text them, you find a way to build that relationship. You don't wait for them to have an epiphany and drop their gun.
Right, right. No, it does. It takes some intervention for sure.
Yeah.
That's a great model. And that's what Hear Me kind of talks about, what does Hear Me show us?
Right. So Hear Me doesn't talk about these models. Hear Me is simply the life stories of these seven young people, ranging in age from 10 to 23. Again, these are all Berkshire County young people who've been directly impacted by community violence and homicide. And the film really just looks through their life story. We examine, like, what are the underlying root causes in the community that make young people susceptible to harm. There's a lot of parallels in their stories. And so we follow that, you know, how did they grow up? What was their neighborhood like? What was their experience with school like? Why did they fall into the streets, mm-hmm. et cetera? And then we have stories of how gun violence impacted them directly, loved ones they lost, and then their experience being incarcerated or in the criminal justice system, and then finally what they think would help the community. And it was also very important for this cast to speak directly to younger people who were mm-hmm. growing up in a similar way and basically use their experience to say, you know, you don't have to go down that path. So the film itself doesn't introduce these models. The film is just insight by people with lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we'll introduce the models and talk about, you know,
mm-hmm.
why we should implement those locally. And finally, I would just say, you know, Pittsfield is a very small place compared to Baltimore. So theoretically, it should be much easier and much cheaper to implement those models here.
Yeah. And I know that you have you've been holding court on this for a couple of years now.
Yeah. 3 years, yeah.
You and I have worked together. You've reached out to me a few times
mm-hmm.
for whatever I could offer.
Yes.
You know, my background in law enforcement and my involvement with the Suicide Prevention Coalition, because as you pointed out, which I appreciate, about the fact that gun violence mostly impacts people through suicide.
Right.
And, you know, here in Massachusetts, you know, our rate of suicide is one of the lowest in the country,
mm-hmm.
and the deaths by suicide with a firearm are just at 22%, which still sounds like a lot, but nationally it's about 53%.
Right.
So every time, you know, having more access to the firearms does increase the overall rate of suicide in different states.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that our safe storage laws are a nexus to those results. So there's multi-faceted conversations that we can have about gun violence and gun protection and safety and all that. But I appreciate very much where you're coming from with this. And I think that the film is really insightful. And I do recommend that people take you up on going to see this thing. So real quick, what are the next couple dates that are coming up that
sure.
people can see
this? So this Sunday, June 1st, 2 p.m. at the Adams Theater. That's a free screening. The next one locally will be Tuesday, June 24th, 1 o'clock at the George B. Crane Memorial Center, also free. And then if you're in the Boston area, it's actually going to be featured at the Roxbury International Film Festival, Saturday, June 21st. It's going to be at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts at 2:30 p.m. And if I could just quickly add to the statistic you mentioned about suicide, I think a lot of times the stories that dominate the media are mass shootings. Mm-hmm. That actually is, you know, less than 2% of deaths by firearm nationally, mm-hmm. but it tends to take over the media. Suicide stories go largely unheard. And then when we talk about homicide, which is around that 40% of deaths, the narratives that are mostly told in the media have to do with like, oh, this crime was just committed. You know, here's a photo of this individual in court being cuffed and shackled, et cetera. So Hear Me really tries to humanize these individuals. You know, who are they beyond that? How did they get to that point? And how can we as a community and as a public address those root causes before they end up in a courtroom or a jail cell?
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to come back to you in a little bit, but we also have other guests here in the room. We have Rachel Schwartz and Mackenzie Kern, who are on the organizing committee for Brookshire Pride. And June is Pride Month, so you guys have quite a bit to talk about. So share with us about all the wonderful things that are coming up with Pride.
Yeah, it's an action-packed month.
Yes, sure is.
Well, our next our kickoff event is this Saturday, mm-hmm. The 31st. There is a flag raising at noon at City Hall. And then there's going to be a block party just following that at 12:30. Mm-hmm. That's at Hot Plate Brewery, right there.
Yeah, sure.
And that's going to be a really fun and lively and exciting event to kick off the month. Then the next day, we have our Rainbow Run 5K, which there is still time to sign up for. And even if you're not an athlete, you can still participate. You can run, you can walk, you can cheer people on. Mm-hmm. There's going to be fun food and wonderful MC by the name of Mackenzie, the lovely young lady sitting next to me.
We do have Hexagon Bagels being a vendor at the 5K, and we have Hut coming with a cold plunge and sauna, which will be awesome.
Yep.
And we will have our merch tent there as well. Mm-hmm. And we're super excited for the 5K. This is our second annual 5K. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing a 1 mile walk this year. We're doing a 5 mile walk. And it's going to be really exciting. It's a family friendly event. Mm-hmm. And
you can still just walk 1 mile if
you want. And like Rachel said, there is so much time still to sign up. It's not until Sunday. Mm-hmm. If you want to run with us, walk with us, or just have fun with us, come and join, sign up.
Hey, what time is that again?
It's at 9 a.m.
9 a.m. And where is it? I'm going to make you say it.
It's at the rail trail in Pittsfield.
Oh, come on. Ashwillutuck, right?
Is that? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yes,
I'm not
going to try.
Yeah,
the
put me on
trail.
The spot. It's fine.
It's okay. Just kidding. All right. So it's at the rail trail, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. All right. Great. And people can still sign up. Can they show up and sign up, or do they need to sign up in advance?
We aren't doing day of sign-ups.
Okay. Perfect. Great. Thanks.
Really, everything we talk about today can be accessed on the Berkshire Pride website, berkshirepride.org. We have a link tree right there at the top where you can access all of the events. You can get tickets. You can volunteer. We're still looking for volunteers for the main festival on June 7th. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of ways to get involved. Mm-hmm. The website will direct you to everything, including we are auctioning off an absolutely stunning handcrafted
rainbow
guitar. Valued at over $5,000.
Oh, wow.
And you can, that's the first link in our link tree. If you go check that out, you can see there's a video where you can see it from every angle. Mm-hmm. It's really incredible.
And you say that's a handcrafted guitar?
It's a handcrafted guitar. It's got this beautiful rainbow detailing. Mm-hmm. And you can buy, one raffle ticket. You can buy multiples. If you bulk buy, you get a discount. Mm-hmm. We're really hoping that this is, that the fundraiser is going to go throughout June. Mm-hmm. I think it was until June 28th.
Yep, it did just get extended until the first week of July.
Okay. And then what's after this weekend? What else do you have coming up?
So we do have our karaoke fundraiser at 7 p.m.
Karaoke?
Oh, yeah. Which will be super fun. We did it last year too. It helps raise money for Pride and all the events that we have coming up, which is amazing.
And that's also at Hot Plate?
That's at Hot Plate on the 6th.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's First Friday related adjacent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's First Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. First Friday in Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. And it's a, sing to donate kind of kind of thing,
okay.
which is really fun. And then, of course, the 7th is the parade mm-hmm. and festival.
Mm-hmm.
Parade at 11, festival goes until 4. We are going to party all day. It's mm-hmm. going to be amazing. Yeah, it just gets bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah.
And the Pride Festival is a family friend event.
Sure it is, yeah. I mean, I've been there past couple of years tabling at different for different organizations, and I'm really impressed with how well attended that is. I mean, I'm inclined to say it might be one of the most attended events in the city. I mean, it was really a lot of people there. It was really great to see. And you're right, absolutely. There are all kinds of families there. You know, it was dog friendly. I was really impressed by how many people came. I mean, you know, the weather was beautiful. And then you also have the market going on, right? The farmer's market.
Yes.
At the first half of the day. So mm-hmm. so you've got that going on as well. And then you guys are at the back half, or like the circle walkway, right? You kind of encompass the whole
yeah.
walkway and the stage.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And I think it's going to be even bigger this year
mm-hmm.
because, again, it grows every year. And so... we do have a lot of the farmers market vendors stay mm-hmm. and you know, during the festival, especially the people that have crafts and mm-hmm. things like that. And then, yeah, it is family friendly. It is dog friendly. Mm-hmm. I will have my dog there doing meet and greets.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't met Princess.
Princess. Okay,
yeah,
so look for Princess.
He's a good boy. and then there...
We have several after parties
yeah.
for after mm-hmm. the festival. One of them is at Wander,
mm-hmm.
which will be really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Dottie's is doing an after party. Methuselah mm-hmm. is doing an after party. Mm-hmm. Again, all of the information for these is on our website, berkshirepride.org. And, you know, there's essentially things happening pretty much every weekend day
mm-hmm.
this month,
yeah.
so, or next month. And then... on the 8th, the day after the festival, is the Nam Keg Tea Dance at 4 p.m.
What is that?
So a tea dance has historical roots in the queer community, and it's just kind of a chance to dress up and be fancy and eat good food and dance and have mm-hmm. a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's an afternoon type of thing usually, as mm-hmm. opposed to, like, you know, the real after party.
Okay.
It's at Jacob's Pillow.
Oh, the Nam Keg Tea is at Jacob's Pillow.
Isn't it? Right?
Yeah. Or is that something?
No, it's at Nam Keg in Stockbridge.
Right, it's at Nam Keg.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, and then what's happening later in the week? You got anything else later in the week?
So the next major event is on the 13th.
Yep.
We've got the Berkshire Pride official, like, after party.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the Stationery Factory in Dalton
okay.
with DJ BFG.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again... we're going to be having a blast. That's like the real, like, party.
Yeah. All the work is done at that point, right?
Exactly.
For the most part.
Well,
for Pittsfield.
You would think, yeah. But then, of course, Lee is having their first annual Pride on the 14th.
Okay.
That's going to be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 20th is North Adams Pride Night. And mm-hmm. this is the first year that Berkshire Pride is... joining up with the other local prides in the Berkshires.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of acting as an umbrella organization and supporting these other, like, more local community events too. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. And then on the 28th, we're wrapping up the month with a Berkshire Busk Pride Night mm-hmm. in Great Barrington.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the night that Berkshire Busk will be having a pride theme, and we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can still get your flags and your merch.
Mm-hmm. So you've got three other events outside of Pittsfield that you
yes.
have scheduled. You've got
mm-hmm.
Lee, North Adams, and Great Barrington.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
great. Yeah.
And even our official events are still happening. You know, we like to try and reach beyond Pittsfield.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the Stationery Factory is in Dalton.
Right.
Nam Keg is in Stockbridge.
Sure.
We're really trying to
yeah.
bring in the whole county.
Yeah. Stationery Factory is a great place for an event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I know you guys have been up there for other events, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, usually our Halloween event
mm-hmm.
Is there, and the Valentine's Day dance was there this year. So, yeah, they've been a great partner for us.
And so you mentioned that you're looking for volunteers.
We are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you need volunteers so people can...
We need volunteers for the festival on the 7th.
Okay. Right. And then what about the parade itself? What is the route? Where does the parade start? Where can people see this parade?
So we actually have, this year, we actually are able to be on North Street and instead of on the sidewalk. So we will be starting at Park Square.
Okay.
And then going all the way down North Street and then down to the Common.
Okay. So when you say all the way down North Street, you're turning on, is that at Eagle Street there? Or how far?
Up North Street.
You're going all the way up. Okay, great. Wow.
It's, we're going to have this year, it's just because of how much bigger we are.
Sure.
We really wanted to be able to have more vehicles and more people be able to walk. Yeah. And so having North Street is a big deal.
Good. We've got a lot of amazing groups signed up to be in the parade. And then, coming back to the Common and sort of spilling back into the festival.
Yeah. So you mentioned Hot Plate. Right, and there's two events going on there. You have the karaoke on First Friday.
Yes.
And then the other thing is this weekend, is that right, Sunday?
The block party.
The block party, okay. All right, what does that entail? What's going on at the block party?
So it's a chance to just celebrate it's right after the flag raising and the kickoff of Pride Month. And we will be having games like Giant Jenga and Cornhole, and there'll be food from Bazookas and obviously drinks from Hot Plate. And it'll be awesome to just be able to celebrate and kick off the start of Pride.
Get everybody in a real celebratory mood.
Yeah, of course. Good place to do it at Hot Plate, which, of course, for Pittsfield Pride here, I mean, we're proudful of Hot Plate because of their recognition with USA Today. Yeah, they were recognized as one of the top five new breweries in the country or something like that. So that was pretty cool. Nice little honor.
And one thing I'd also like to point out is, and you mentioned how well attended Pride is, and part of that is because we do have a really vibrant queer community here in the Berkshires, but a lot of it also is because our allies really show up to support us.
Yeah.
And I think this, not to bring anyone down, but like with this political climate, it is really, really important for allies to show up in a meaningful way. And that's something that, everybody has something to add, whether you're coming to the festival, you're supporting the vendors, you're attending the events, you're volunteering, you're donating. There's always something that people have to offer. And that's a really meaningful way of showing allyship, is just to show up and have fun with us.
Be present and share.
Yes,
and share
exactly.
And encourage and support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now more than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You need that extra little support now for sure.
Yeah.
And so our slogan is Pride Every Day.
Yeah.
Which is also hugely important because, every day is Pride. Because even though Pride Month is coming up, we do so much in the community all year round to support the queer community in the Berkshires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can talk about some of that programming when we come back from our break.
Sure.
Because I do know that that you do a lot of things out there in the community, and that's very important, so appreciate that. So we are approaching the top of the hour, at which point we're going to take a little pause for station identification. We're going to thank some of our underwriters, and then we will return. You are listening to WTBR 89.7 and WSBR in Lee 88.1. We'll be back in a moment.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying, anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
You're hearing the stories of our countywide housing challenges all the time. Housing the Berkshires, a coalition of change, is a growing group of community stakeholders, municipal leaders, and friends just like you who want to create a positive impact on housing needs in the Berkshires. Join us in our commitment to making lasting changes in our housing landscape. We are good neighbors, creative innovators, committed partners, and determined navigators. To join us, visit berkshirehousing.com today.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Welcome to Beyond, a one-hour program of science fiction, fantasy, and adventure. I'll be your host, Beverly Prentice. Listen in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. My email is beyond3x5@gmail.com.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right. Good morning and welcome back. This is Thursday. And my name is Brian Burkle. I'm going to be your guest today for the Morning Drive. You are on WTBR 89.7 FM, WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee. So I just want to remind our listeners that if there's anything here that you hear today and maybe you missed part of it and you want to go back to it or you want to see what you missed, we video record these sessions, and they are available for viewing on PCTV. So if you want to go in to PCTV and look up today's show, you can always look and see what happened and see everybody in studio and catch up on anything that you might have missed. And they're all there from, I don't even know how far back, at least a year. So whether it was Bill, Sean, or myself, all those are there available for you. So before we get back to our guests, and I'll just, for anybody just joining us, I'll tell you, we have a full house here. We have lots going on in the month of June. So from Pride, we have Rachel Schwartz and Mackenzie Kern, who are on the organizing committee, and they have lots of events to talk about. We also have Jenny Herzog, who is the producer of a film called Hear Me, and she's an artist who works, who uses art working towards gun violence prevention and criminal justice reform. So, and her show, her movie, Hear Me, is going to be presented a couple times here in Berkshire County over the next month. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But before we get into that, we have to check with our weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. Highs in the upper 60s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Lows in the upper 50s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny. A chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, again, sounds like regular Berkshire weather. Rachel actually had an idea that I asked when we were first talking here, Rachel, you, about the weather before the show went on air.
I offered
to do the weather.
To do the weather report.
Which I think that might be a good idea in the future, you know, just have our guests tell us what it was like driving in.
It's a little misty and lovely and balmy.
Yeah. very late May, early June,
yeah,
Berkshire County.
Totally.
Yes. So we're going to, I want to circle back to Jenny right now and see, talk a little bit more about this film, Hear Me. So I know I've seen it. I highly recommend it to anybody who has the opportunity to see this, and you are offering it a couple of times. First, let's talk about when and where so that people can take advantage of that.
Yes, so Hear Me will be screened this Sunday, June 1st at 2 p.m. at the Adams Theater. That's a free screening. Please join us. The next screening locally will be Tuesday, June 24th, 1 p.m. at the George B. Crane Memorial Center on Linden Street in Pittsfield, also free. If you are in the greater Boston area, it will be screened Saturday, June 21st at 2:30 p.m. as part of the Roxbury International Film Festival, and it's actually going to be screened at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts. So three upcoming screenings this month. We really need the public's support, not just to watch the film, but then to advocate to bring some of these models to our community. So please join us. You can also find this information on my website, joinchaostheory.com, on the Hear Me page. That has all the screenings and also press and the trailer, things like that.
You said chaos theory.
I did.
So can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. Okay. Well, I've always liked chaos as a concept, but the way it kind of applies to gun violence prevention, I would say, is, you know, we have to be willing to deal with the discomfort of how messy and complex the problem is, and maybe also take a step back from the status quo of how we as a society are dealing with the problem in order to consider alternatives. So that's kind of the chaos part. I think chaos gets a bad rep, you know, like people went, you know, like, oh, it's so chaotic. But sometimes things have to be chaotic. You know, you have to rearrange things, restructure things in order to make it better. So that's kind of the premise there.
Mm-hmm. My house motto is chaotic good vibes only.
There you go.
So with the chaos theory, is that where the genesis of Hear Me came from?
No. Hear Me, I had just moved to the area. I didn't have a job. Mm-hmm. I kind of pitched myself to a local agency that receives the violence prevention state funding for the mm-hmm. city of Pittsfield. You know, like, hey, I'm an artist, work on social issues. Is there any project I can do? And they were, still are, a recipient of the Massachusetts Department of Public Health's Gun Violence Prevention Grant, which is about, you know, a little less than $500,000 a year to deal with gun violence prevention in the city of Pittsfield. One of the components of that grant is community engagement and mobilization, so engaging the broader public in dialogue around root causes of gun violence. So they hired me to do some kind of creative project that would talk about gun violence in Pittsfield and Berkshire County. So that that project became the documentary film Hear Me. Dave Simons, who's an independent filmmaker out of Williamstown, was the filmmaker and director. I was the producer. So if you want, I could talk a little bit about how it came to be.
Yeah, please.
Sure. So I basically tagged along with outreach workers, getting to know the young people in Pittsfield and North Adams that they were working with. You know, we're making a documentary about gun violence. Do you have a story you'd like to share? We got a lot of interest, which I guess is kind of a sad thing. Mm. But a lot of young people had stories about how they'd been personally impacted by gun violence that they wanted to share. We chose 7 of those young people. I spent a few months kind of hanging out with them, building trust, learning about their life. And then Dave came in with the camera. We did like a 2 to 3 hour interview with each of them, just going through their whole life story. And then those interviews, which is 20 plus hours of footage, were woven together to create Hear Me, which is now a 50-minute feature-length documentary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be available for people to watch in Adams at
yes.
the Adams Theater.
Please join us this Sunday, June 1st, 2 p.m. at the Adams Theater for a free screening. It's a beautiful theater. They're going to have a huge high-tech projector, so it's going to look and sound beautiful, and we have got a great panel after, mm-hmm. so please do join us.
Yeah, so it's a matinee.
It's a matinee.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you still got the rest of the evening after this.
Yeah, and could I just add, it is about, you know, coming and listening and learning to these stories, but we also really need the public support in terms of, like, advocating to bring these public health models to our community. So it's an opportunity to kind of get close to some young people who've been impacted, hear their stories, understand why this is so urgent and important, especially going into summer when gun violence tends to spike, and then also be part of the conversation and the solution on advocating to bring these models here. So please join us. We need you.
Now, when you mentioned the community engagement, have you had some successes there? Do you have organizations that you're partnering with?
Yeah. So I've been, for the last maybe year and a half, working with Michael Obasahan, who's the chief diversity officer for the city of Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, initially the idea was violence is an issue of equity. Gun violence is the leading cause of death for Americans under age 19, but for young black men, not only is it the leading cause of death, it's higher than the next 9 causes of death combined. I think everyone also knows that there's a huge disparity in the U.S. prison population, with black men making up 6% of the U.S. population, but 40% of the prison population. So also neighborhoods with higher levels of community violence also tend to be disproportionately impacting communities of color. So I partnered with Michael Obasahan to look at community violence as an issue of equity. And we, for the last year and a half, were holding stakeholder meetings in City Hall. So really inviting in everyone who works on these issues, who has some insight and expertise. So that's everyone from, you know, the Boys and Girls Club, social service agencies, law enforcement, the district attorney's office, also community members with lived experience. We really tried to invite everyone in to have some critical conversations around what is everyone currently doing, where are the gaps, and then also to introduce these models and kind of try to brainstorm whether it could be feasible. So we've been trying. We've run into a few roadblocks, but we've been trying.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Change takes some effort, doesn't it?
It does.
So these the panel that you have afterwards, there's Q&A with the audience, I assume?
Yes.
What kind of questions do people ask? I mean, are they looking for a direction on how they can help?
They are.
Okay.
And so what we're doing now is we've kind of organized. I've partnered with Kamara Taliaferro, who's the chair of the NAACP Political Action Committee, to invite people into that space to kind of use that platform to advocate for some of these models. So people can sign up on my website, joinchaostheory.com. There's a Join Us page where there's a few ways you can sign up. You know, you can add your name to a list of people who are advocating to bring these models locally. You can host a screening of the film. This is actually huge. You know, if you're part of an organization that has an interest in gun violence prevention, you can reach out to me. We can screen the film at your place of work. We can screen the film for your family and friends. We can do a house showing. You know, this is really about spreading the conversation throughout Berkshire County. So if you have people in your life who you think would like to see the film, you can work with me to set up a screening. And then finally, you can join the Political Action Committee to actually work on bringing these models here and meeting with stakeholders and things like that. I think can I just add, a single homicide costs a city $10 million cumulatively over time. That's a large amount of money, you know, so that includes medical costs, criminal costs, lost wages over time, devalued property, economic decline, businesses not wanting to come to the area because there's violence. So
The cost of the investigation and the prosecution, if
yes,
there is one.
Yes, all that. And then not to mention, you know, the personal cost of trauma and tragedy to the family and community. So investing in prevention is literally a tiny fraction of that cost, and it means putting money back into communities that have been disproportionately harmed in order to keep people alive and out of prison. So to me, it's a no-brainer. It's just about having that conversation and being a little intentional about how we can make that happen.
Yeah. So that showing is this Sunday.
This Sunday.
At 2 o'clock.
June 1st, 2 o'clock, the Adams Theater. It's a free screening.
Yeah.
You asked about the questions people ask. they ask how they can get involved. They ask, you know, what's currently happening in Pittsfield. I think this isn't a topic that the broader public, you know, interfaces with in their daily life. So I think there's just a lot of interest in, like, what are we currently doing? How can we make these models happen? Things like that. Questions about how the film came to be.
And to your point, where you just mentioned that people may not, in their own personal experiences, have a real sense of what's going on. So I think having these testimonials of these kids who have had these experiences really brings it home, especially because they are here. They're here in our home in Pittsfield. So people from Pittsfield who maybe themselves haven't been impacted by it directly, they hear about it, they know that it kind of exists in the shadows or whatever, but to see kids from this community talking about their experiences, I think is eye-opening to people.
Yeah, and you know, again, when we think about homicide specifically and street violence, a lot of the ways that we hear these narratives is just through the, you know, crimes and the images of criminal activity and things like that. So there's also a lot of stigma around, you know, the language we use is a menace to society, danger to the public, a juvenile delinquent, criminal, you know. Yes, it's important to hold people accountable for the harm they're perpetrating. But in order to actually treat the root causes, I think it's important to humanize these individuals. Mm-hmm. And so the film is really an invitation to meet these people and who they really are and how they ended up where they are so that we can kind of go upstream and prevent that from happening.
Yeah. Well, thank you for
doing that. So please join us June 1st, Adams Theater, 2 p.m.
That's right. And then so you can make it to the film for 2 p.m. and changing gears slightly, but on the same day, you could start your day with a little 5K with Berkshire Pride, right?
That's right. We have our second annual 5K on Sunday, June 1st, and we still have signups available, and we would love to have anybody come out and run or walk. We have a 5-mile walk available as well.
Yeah, so lots going on Sunday. So lots of opportunities. So let's talk a little bit more about Pride. Can you can we talk a little bit more about some of the other programming that Pride offers throughout the year?
Of course.
Sure.
So yeah, our slogan this year is Every Day is Pride. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to consider how we can support the community all year round. We have a lot of programming and a lot of really meaningful partnerships in the community. So one of the things that Berkshire Pride offers is a safe space training where we go into different businesses and organizations, and our staff trains them in, you know, there's a lot of confusion and sometimes discomfort around certain language, especially if it's language that people aren't familiar with. People feel like sometimes they can't ask questions, but then when they do ask questions, it alienates, you know. So going in and teaching people how to have these conversations in a productive way and how to make everyone feel safe in their workplace and their, you know, in their school and their organization is really important.
It also helps educate about all the new different pronouns that people use and all the statistics on suicide among the queer community and mental health and all of those areas that are really important to touch on and to educate the public on.
Yeah, so I work part-time over at the Berkshire County Kids Place. And Emma, who is the facilitator for the for this program that you're talking about, had come over, and we went through the course, the project.
Awesome.
And you're absolutely right. It was 3 points that they hit on most was understanding terminology, being able to know how and when to use pronouns and why that's important, and also, like you said, mental health of people in the LGBTQ community. And you know, suicidal ideations that may result from their experiences. So, and when you complete that, your business or your organization gets basically like a certification to let people know that this is a safe place for these conversations.
Right. So what we usually do is we can't certify an actual business. We certify the individual people in the business.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Yes, thank you.
Because a whole business can't be...
Correct, right. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me on that.
But this is a really, again, a meaningful way for allies to be involved and to show support. And, you know, we have a lot of other year-round programming. We have after-school programs. We have a partnership called the Trans Exchange, which offers clothing to people who are, you know, it's if your clothing does not match your gender identity, it's a big investment to buy a whole new wardrobe. So this offers a way for people to get clothing that fits who they feel like they are on the inside. We have financial planning offered through Greylock, who's they've been an amazing partner, and they're a sponsor for us as well. And, you know, sometimes there's a perception that queer people have a higher income. You know, oh, well, it's adults with no kids, and this is not the reality that we're living in anymore. Maybe never were. The queer community is definitely affected by poverty, and so having someone to discuss the financial planning and, you know, how to build credit and all of these things is really important too, because when you think about anything that kind of creates marginalization, tends to push people to the periphery in society. And so then they're not necessarily accessing services.
Right.
And so one of the things Berkshire Pride really has been working to do is making sure that everybody feels seen, everybody is getting what they need, and really listening to what the community needs and wants, and addressing the specific needs here in the Berkshires.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point, like as you pointed out about, you know, particularly, you know, maybe some people who are trans, they've had situations where they are not getting the employment that, that the rest of us. So it's important to understand the socioeconomic aspect of that, and not fall into that category or that stereotype of oh, you know, they got plenty of money and they all drive nice cars and all that stuff.
Yeah, not everybody's Will and Grace.
Right, exactly, exactly. So I do know that like we had an organization in here a couple weeks ago, Heart and Soil. And I know that they specifically provide food services to people who are trans and so forth. So it is important that the public understands that there are needs in all demographics. You know? And certainly people that you guys serve are among those folks who could use some extra help here and there and support. And so you have that clothing exchange. And where is that? Where is that located?
There's a large closet in the Berkshire Pride office itself on Depot Street, and then in the ground floor of that building is Wander, and Wander has a lovely setup there too, where people can just walk in and get what they need. And Wander's been an amazing partner for us as well, and they're hosting one of our after parties this year after the festival, as well as a bunch of other events throughout the month. One of the things that's been really amazing is how much Berkshire Pride has grown over the past couple of years. Even from, I just moved here a few years ago, and even seeing how much it's grown from a year and a half ago to now is really inspiring.
Yeah, well, that says a lot to you guys. You know, you've done so much outreach, you've done so much work. You're on the organizing committee, so clearly you've done a lot of good organizing, you know. You've made this event successful. So.
But it also shows how much the community really comes out to support us.
Yes, yes.
And that's something that really cannot be taken lightly. Even just attending the events, coming to the festival is a show of support that we really need right now, especially in today's political climate.
Yeah.
And speaking of support, we still need volunteers for our Pride Festival on the 7th and for the North Adams Pride as well.
When you go to berkshirepride.org, there's a link tree that gives you information on a lot of different things. The first two links you're going to see are, the first one is a link to a raffle for this absolutely stunning handcrafted acoustic guitar with rainbow detailing. And then the second link is going to be for our volunteer signups. So you can find that very easily going to berkshirepride.org.
Berkshirepride.org. Okay.
Yes.
You can find all that information there.
Yes.
All the events that are coming up in June, all the ways that you can help, all the other programs that Berkshire Pride offers to the community.
Yeah. And we have volunteer opportunities for everyone of every ability level. You know, if you need something where you're not everything involves like heavy lifting and, you know, so everyone has something to offer.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate the help that we get from all different community members.
Sure. There's always some way to help.
Exactly.
There's always some way to help. So reach out if you feel that you can fill those gaps.
Yes.
So we got a couple of minutes left. We got about 5 minutes left. So I want to kind of circle back to Jenny for a minute and then we'll come back to you guys. What else do we want to talk about, Jen?
That's a good question. Well, first I'll start by repeating the dates so everyone knows. And I'll just repeat what Hear Me is. So Hear Me is a documentary featuring seven young people from Berkshire County who have been impacted by gun violence. We explore root causes, health disparities, stories of impact, and a way forward through the voices of experts, young people who have lived experience. So we have three upcoming screenings. This Sunday, June 1st, 2 p.m., the Adams Theater, free screening followed by a panel discussion and audience conversation. Tuesday, June 24th at the George B. Crane Memorial Center in Pittsfield, 1 o'clock, also free. And then in the Boston area, Saturday, June 21st, 2:30 p.m., Boston Museum of Fine Arts. I don't know. I think to me it's just kind of about getting the public to understand, again, similar to what our friends, my friends to the left just said, we really do need the public's help and support and advocacy, especially given that the issue of community gun violence tends to impact a very small number of people. If you live in another part of the Berkshires or even another neighborhood, you might not be directly impacted. You might not have the awareness or the education on how you could get involved. But what we're trying to do and what I'm trying to do, so with Chaos Theory and with the NAACP Political Action Committee, is create a space for everyone in the Berkshire County public to be part of advocating to implement these public health models that have reduced shootings and homicides in other cities and bringing them here. So we need your help, even if it's just coming to listen and learn, be part of the solution, help spread the film around to your family and friends, South County, Central County, you know, Pittsfield, North County, everywhere. And then helping to advocate, speaking to your city council rep, you know, on why investing in prevention is important, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And I like the idea that you've offered to take the show on the road.
Right.
And you're willing to do private screenings.
Yes.
If there's an organization that someone in that organization, could be a civic group, it could be a church group, right? Could be anybody.
Right.
Somebody could host a viewing at their home.
Right.
If this is something that they feel passionate about and they can invite friends. So what a great way for people to first be able to see your film, but also to be in company of others who are having a conversation.
Yeah.
That's where things really grow from.
Right. And like we talked about, the whole intention of this project was always community engagement and mobilization. Mm-hmm. So don't think of this as like a feature film on the big screen. You have to go to the movie theater to check it out. You know, we do have screenings like that and mm-hmm. it looks and sounds beautiful, but the goal of this is to get the community involved. So we can do house screenings, you know, invite your kids, invite your neighbors, 5-10 people, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I'm down. This is about like a grassroots movement of getting the public involved in advocating for these things. So yeah, church groups, you know, places of work, nonprofits, law enforcement, mm-hmm. hospitals, anywhere and everywhere. Mm-hmm. Gun violence is, you know, the leading cause of death mm-hmm. for Americans under age 19. Pittsfield is a small place, but for a rural area, we do have mm-hmm. a lot of gun violence. I work with young men in Pittsfield who have direct experience with the criminal justice system, gun violence, and street affiliation, and from the stories they tell me, this is an urgent crisis. We've got young kids with access to black market guns and mm-hmm. very little intervention from what I can tell. So this is urgent. We need everyone to get on board. So yeah. Check us out. Join chaostheory.com. Mm-hmm. Join us this Sunday in Adams, 2 p.m. Adams Theater, free screening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So let's bounce back over here to Pride. What else do we want to talk about? We've got about 2 more minutes.
I just want to reiterate that, you know, Pride in the Berkshires is almost here, mm-hmm. and we have our flag raising at City Hall, and we're very, very excited to kick off the month with a block party at Hot Plate, and come and celebrate with us. Mm-hmm. We have lots of events. Our festival is June 7th, and our 5K is the first, mm-hmm. and we just can't wait to have everybody come aboard.
Great. Lots going on. So listen, anybody out there within range of hearing what we're talking about today, there's lots of things you can put on your calendar for June. June is a great time of the year. It's probably one of the best months of the year here in Berkshire County sometimes, you know, temperature-wise and weather-wise, hopefully, knock on wood, right? So lots going on with Pride. It is Pride Month. And then, of course, a couple opportunities to see Hear Me. Being screened, first being up at the Adams Theater. But go to, Jenny, again, with your website?
JoinChaosTheory.com. There's mm-hmm. a tab called Hear Me that will have all the screenings and information.
All right. So Jenny Herzog, she's the producer of this film, Hear Me. She's an artist working on gun violence prevention and criminal justice reform here in Berkshire County. So a great asset. Thank you for, I knew you're new to the area a few mm-hmm. years. So I'm glad that you've brought that to our community.
Thank you.
And then with Berkshire Pride, thank you for being here. We got Rachel Schwartz and Mackenzie Kern. You guys are the organizing committee, or you're part of the organizing committee, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of us.
Yeah. So lots and lots going on. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, you got it.
And thank you.
And hey, listen, everybody out there, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the weekend that's coming up. All of us here at WTBR, we appreciate you tuning in to the Morning Drive this morning. And we hope that you'll join us again every day. So have a good weekend.
Nice.